Good morning. It's good to see you. It's good to be here. How many of us are missing that hour of sleep right now? You'll be greatly tested in the next little bit here. I know missing that hour kind of affects us and it takes us a few days to get over it. But I will say I really enjoy the extra hour at night of daylight. It's so nice to have a little more time to get more things done. It's good to be back together. I want to reiterate what Gary had mentioned. I want to say thank you so much for your support, your activity, and the gospel meeting last week. I know that Trevor appreciated it so much to have your attention and your support. It was so good to see so many out throughout the week. If you're interested, if you were not able to be here, those lessons are online. They're available there at our website, except for Monday night. And somebody, I don't know who it was, maybe a preacher, who forgot to hit record the first night or the second day there, Monday. But the rest of them are all there available. I told Trevor, well, that's unique for those who were here Monday. You get a You were part of the group that got to hear that lesson. Nobody else will. So live in legend for years to come. But again, so good to be with you and so thankful for all you do. This morning, as I was thinking about our lesson, of course, I was drawn to a big event going on in our country this year. Your TVs have already and your radios and everywhere else has been inundated with advertisements. This year, we will continue to hear those throughout this year until after Election Day. But that's a pretty important day, isn't it? We have choices we have to weigh, and some pretty big ones when we consider we are electing the next president for the next 4 years of our country. That's an important decision in our country. Depending on who leads us, it could either be good leadership or not. And so we will spend the next several months thinking about those things, considering our vote. But there is something this morning I want to talk to you about that I believe is a lot more important. And that is spiritually minded leadership in the church. I want you to go to Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34. I appreciate Steve reading that passage for us this morning. I'm going to go back there and I want you to notice again what Jesus says as he comes ashore in verse number 34. He sees this great crowd of people there ready to listen and to hear him and to be healed by him. And the text tells us he had compassion on them, or he sympathized with them. Why? Notice the next statement. He says, because they were, what? Like sheep without a shepherd. Well, he's talking about a large number of Jewish people. Now, on the surface, that sounds like, okay, I can understand that. There are all these people and they're looking towards somebody. Now, should they have had leadership? Should they have had shepherds who would guide them? Absolutely. God had provided the Levites as leaders, as guides for them in a spiritual way. But unfortunately, they were not guiding the people as they should. They had not been looking for the Messiah, which God had prophesied and promised about. And so Jesus sees these people and he sees that they are bereft of spiritual nourishment, of someone to guide them, to lead them. The high priest and those of the Sanhedrin were not doing that. And so he makes this statement. He says, look at all these sheep who need a shepherd, who need someone to lead. The church needs good, spiritually minded leadership. We need it today just as they did. And when we think about the type of leadership we need, I want you to notice again what Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. As he talks about those brethren who have went astray, those who have erred from the faith. And he says, brethren, if anyone is caught up in any transgression or sin, you who are, notice this, he qualifies who should go out and try to bring them back. He said, you who are spiritual or spiritually minded, restore such a one or restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. Paul says to us, we need spiritually minded leaders. We need spiritually minded guidance. This morning, for just a little bit, I want to talk about this idea of what it means to be a spiritually minded leader, a spiritually minded Christian. And I want to look at John chapter 10 as Jesus paints for us the picture of a spiritually minded leader. He describes this in pretty good detail in talking about himself, the good shepherd. And so if you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. We're going to spend some time there, and we're going to look at what these leaders look like. Who are they? Number one, when you look to John chapter 10, you'll notice from verses 1 through 5, spiritually minded leaders know their followers or know the sheep. Notice verse 1 of John 10. Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep, now notice this, hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep, what? Follow him. For they, what? Know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus says they know his voice. Spiritual-minded leaders, leaders in the church, men who are going to lead, are men who know those whom they choose to lead. That means I need to know you. I need to know you. I need to be with you. I need to be in your home. I need to be in your life. I need to understand what your struggles are. Understand where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. I know you as a person. He says, for the one who is a stranger, they're not going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. You need to know them. I think it's interesting in Acts chapter 6 when the dispute over the Hellenistic Jews come before the apostles and over the daily distribution of food comes up and the apostles decide, you know, you need to choose some men to be over this work. They couldn't leave what they were doing to do it, but they knew there were men amongst the Hellenists who could do it. Now, you notice verse number three of chapter 6. He says, brothers, pick out or choose from among who? Yourselves. Why did he want them to do that? Because these would be men they knew, men they trusted. Men who knew them. Choose from among yourselves. You want to be a leader in the church? You need to get to know people. Leaders in the church are not aloof, are not above everybody else, but they get involved in the lives of others and they serve others. Notice Matthew chapter 20. Verse 25 and following, Matthew 20, 25. You notice there in this context, there's a dispute arising amongst the disciples, these 12 men Jesus has selected. You have some who are asking for things they shouldn't be. You even have in this context a mother who gets involved and asks for her sons to be able to sit at the right hand of Jesus. And I want you to notice what he goes on to talk to them about after telling them he's not going to give them that position. Because why? Notice verse number 25. He called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles," notice this, "lord it over them." Who? Those they lead. They act as authoritarians, as lords over their people. And their great ones exercise authority over them. They become power hungry. A leader in the church must never become power hungry. Notice as he goes on, he explains why. He says, "It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great must, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man," notice this, "came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." I have more to say about that end later. Good catch. He says, you're not to be like them. That's not the model of leadership. Now, the model of leadership in the church goes counterintuitive to the world's view of leadership. A leader in the world is the one who stands above the group and commands from above. That's not the way leadership is in the church. He says, if you want to be a great leader, learn to serve. Be a servant. Put yourself second, and others is more important. Get to know those you lead. Understand their life and find ways to serve them. Spiritually minded leaders are leaders who know their followers. Number two, spiritually minded leaders provide for their followers. Notice as he goes on here in John chapter 10 and verse 7. "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to their listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, and notice this, and have it abundantly." He's saying the good shepherd provides for his sheep. Psalm 23 says what? The Lord leads me. How? He leads me to green pastures, right? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Lord provides. He shows us what a good leader does. A leader, because he knows his followers, is going to provide for their needs. Jesus says, "I've done that." I've done that, or he will do that in the context here by giving his life for the sheep. But he does so much more than that. It's not just about salvation, isn't it? Jesus teaches us how to live better, how to have the good life, how to prosper. A good leader will provide for those who follow him. You notice in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32, again, he is there and he's looking at the multitudes, the crowds, and notice his reaction in verse number 32. He says, I will have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry. He says, I am unwilling to let them go away hungry. I'm going to feed them. Now, he's talking about in a physical way. But there's a deeper ideal here about spiritual nourishment. Our leaders, those who lead in the church, need to be concerned about people's spiritual bellies. That they're feeding them with truth. That they're giving them what they need to sustain them. In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells his disciples, the leaders, the initial leaders of the church, those who would bring about the building, the institution of the church. He says, go therefore and make what? Make disciples. Well, how do you make a disciple? It's through teaching. It's through providing truth. It's through providing to them the plan of salvation. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice this again. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So he says, feed them. When they obey, feed them more. And continue to feed so that they may grow. A spiritually minded leader feeds or provides the nourishment necessary for those that they are leading so that they will grow and have opportunity for growth in their life. Spiritually minded leaders know their followers and they provide for them. Number three, spiritually minded leaders protect their followers. Notice John chapter 10, verse 11. We continue in our context there. He says, he declares, I am the good shepherd. Why is he the good shepherd? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand, and notice this, and cares nothing for the sheep. If I'm a leader in the church and I see where someone is struggling in their life, and I see how Satan is trying to get in there and he's trying to steal that individual away, and I do nothing about it, I am like that hired hand, and I'm proving I don't really care. I don't really care about the church. I don't care about the person. As a leader in the church, as a spiritually minded Christian, I need to step up and try to help however I can in not allowing Satan to snatch that person away. I need to try to protect them and keep them in the fold. There's a tradition among the early American Indians that they had a unique practice of training young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting, scouting, and fishing skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of the family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods, and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, He beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was his father. He had been there all night long. What was that father doing? He's trying to lead his son, trying to teach him something that he felt was real important. But you know what he wasn't going to do? He wasn't going to allow that son to go in the woods alone. He wanted him to believe he was alone, but he was going to be there to protect him. We need leaders in the church who are willing to protect the flock, who are willing to put themselves on the line in order to protect those whom God's given them charge over. In the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul, talking to a group of early church leaders, elders in the church at Ephesus, says to them, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to take care of the church of God, which he had obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Paul says, I know after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among them. Why aren't the wolves there already? Because they know Paul is there trying to protect the flock. He's that shepherd with his staff in hand trying to keep the wolves at bay. A good shepherd does what? He protects his flock. He will stand there night and day to ward off any of the attempts of the evil one to infiltrate. As leaders in the church, as elders, as others who lead, it would behoove us to remember the great cost that was paid for the church. Was Jesus paid with his own blood? As spiritually minded leaders, we protect the flock. They protect their followers. That leads us to the next thing, is that as spiritually minded leaders, they are willing to sacrifice themselves. In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. You think about all the ways that's true. That's definitely true in his crucifixion. But isn't really the whole life of Jesus about sacrifice? He says at one point, you know, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Think about all the things Jesus sacrificed, all the comforts in his life he gave up. He gave up having a family and having children. He gave up money and wealth. He gave up comfort and ease. Why did he do it all? Because he loved us. He gave up heaven for us. Paul, another man who knew the idea of sacrifice, says in Philippians chapter 1, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between two. My desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. You hear the struggle in the mind of Paul? Where does he want to be? He wants to go on. He's ready. He's ready to make that next step and to move beyond this life, to go to be with God. He's tired. I'm sure of it. A tired man who has been through a lot, whose body hurts and aches, whose belly is hungry, whose mind is at unease because of the troubles that face him and the church in this world. He says, for me to die, oh, that would be gain. He says, though, it is necessary for you that I remain. Paul was willing to sacrifice whatever was necessary for the church. Spiritually minded leaders are willing to sacrifice of themselves and will be called on to make sacrifices. Spiritually minded leaders lead by example. Back in John chapter 10 and verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus says, I lay this life down of my own will. There's no one making Jesus go to the cross. We sang that song, 10,000 Angels, and I couldn't help but just go over this in my mind. Jesus could have stopped any of that at any point. He didn't have to be arrested in the garden. He didn't have to be whipped and humiliated before the crowds. He didn't have to carry that cross up Golgotha's hill. He didn't have to let them nail those nails in his hands or his feet. He didn't have to hang there in the sun and the heat as everybody looked up. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to go to the grave. He's God. At any moment, he could have chose for any of that to stop. But he did it all for our sake. He was going to lead by example. C.S. Lewis once said, don't shine so that others can see you. Shine so that through you, others might see him. Spiritually minded leaders will not ask more of those that follow than they are willing to do themselves. In John chapter 13, Jesus girded himself with that towel. He bent down on his knees. He took out that rag and he began to wash his apostles' feet. In essence, saying to us, I'm not asking you anything that I am not willing to do myself. That shepherd who leads a flock stands at the front of that flock and they lead. They don't stand at the back and prod the sheep to go there, go here. Shepherds who do that need dogs to help keep the sheep in line. That's why we have a sheepdog. Shepherds who lead at the front, who have sheep that know their voice, don't have to do that. Because the sheep willingly follow. If you're having to prod people to get them to do the right thing, maybe you need to reevaluate what you're doing, what your example is. In Luke chapter 6, verse 39, Jesus told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not see the log, or notice the log, that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck in your brother's eye." You notice that statement there again, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. That's a scary statement. I want you to think about the implications of that. Your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and your nephews, you're a leader to them. And they see you. They hear you. They know you. Don't expect your children to be better than you are. Don't expect your children to do things you're not willing to do. Don't expect your children to obey Christ when you refuse to. Don't expect your children to be saved when you refuse to do the easy thing, which is to lead. Quit prodding. Show them. Show them by your example. This weekend, I've been given the opportunity to take care of some goats. Vance and Adrian are out of town. They asked us to take care of their livestock. It's interesting. I've got a dog, and we try to keep some frogs alive. They're all dying off. Animals come to our house, and at least fish do, to die. So I've been helping out, taking care of them, and it's interesting. The first day was really interesting. Went down there, and they went to feed the goats, and I was doing well. Got the dogs fed, they got back in the lot, and then somehow the gate fell over. And those goats, man, they hightailed it out of there. You ever try to stop a goat? Don't. They're not stopping. They're stronger than you. And don't grab them by the horns. They don't like that. Here I am, standing there, wondering what I'm going to do. There are 4 out of 5 goats, and they're all out of the enclosure. I have no idea what am I going to do. I try to start chasing these goats around, and all they do is keep running away from me. Now, I can either continue to be stupid and continue to chase, or I can stop. I stopped. I had to figure out how to get them back in there. I finally thought about something. Goats really like to eat, and they will eat anything. You try to take food into a goat, they will try to start eating you if you don't give it to them quick enough. They have some sweet feed. I went down and got some sweet feed. They wouldn't follow me when I was trying to prod them back in there, when I was trying to pull them back in there. But man, when I offer them that food, I got their attention, and every one of them were following me back in there and trying to take that bucket away from me. We have a lot of people who are hungry. We have a lot of people who are lost without direction in their life. who don't have a shepherd in their life. And you watch them in their life and all the dumb decisions they make, how they have no idea about what's really important. And man, we've been given a gift by God. You've been given truth. You've been given the gospel. You've been given a light. Lead people to Christ. Show them by how you live, by how you talk. Show them by being willing to do what you're asking them to do. Spiritually minded leaders know their followers. Get to know people. Understand their situation in life. I don't know the number of people that have been in my office or we've been talking somewhere and having to share tears together, to share struggles together. People need to hear, have someone hear them and really hear. People need someone to provide for them the spiritual nourishment they need. They don't even know what they need. But open up the Word of God with them. Let God show them their need. Protect those people from Satan. Be willing to make yourself uncomfortable. Be willing to make the sacrifices necessary. Lead them by example. The church here has a lot of good people here. You are shining bright lights in this community. God just needs us to shine a little bit brighter. The church here needs elders. Over the next few weeks, I want to talk about that. And I want us to begin to think about our need here for spiritually minded leadership. You may or may not be able to be an elder in the church. If you're a lady, that's not going to be afforded to you. But you know what? You can be a leader. You can be a leader with your children. To your friends and family who are outside the church, we need to change our mindset about what a leader is. A leader is a servant. How many of us are willing to serve to the needs of others? How many of us are willing to be the kind of example that leads others to Christ and not send them away? This morning, I wonder what kind of example you are. I wonder if there are areas in your life where you struggle to be the kind of example you should be. Please give some consideration to your life and your relationship with God. This morning, do you need to obey the gospel, or do you need to learn more about what the gospel is and what God requires of you? If you need to know more, we're here and ready to listen and to help you in that journey. Maybe you're a child of God who needs to come home. Maybe you're a child of God whose example hasn't been what it should be, and this morning you need to ask for forgiveness. Whatever your need, please come as together we stand and sing.